Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Anna, God, I love that banana Anderson.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Hava Nagila Weber. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as usual, is the lovable and huggable Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
How are you doing?
I'm just having the most lovely day. I love me some Real Housewives of Orange County recapping.
That's right. That's exactly what we're going to do today. We just recorded our bonus episode for Patreon. We talked really intensely about the Emmys, which segued into our view on comedy on TV and Saturday Night Live and lots of other interesting things. It was really fun talking about it. So go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens to hear that. And of course, we have a show. We have some... I'm getting choked up talking about our shows. We are doing live shows all across the country. Next month, we have... we're going to New York City for two nights, the October 11th and 12th. The 12th is sold out, I'm sorry to say, but we still have some tickets left for the 11th, so get them while you can. And then we have Seattle and Nashville after that. In November and December, and then we have Charleston and Dallas, which are also sold out. So we may add another Dallas show. We have to see. If there's enough of demand, we'll look into getting a second Dallas show. So make sure your voice is heard. A good way to do that is to join our Facebook group, facebook.com/watchforcrap. Well, actually, the group is Watch What Crappens Live and Loving It. You have to search for it in the search bar of your Facebook. So that's that. Just go to watchcrappens.com for tickets. And now, it's time to talk Orange County. Very exciting. Now, by the way, warning to everyone, my laptop has been acting cray-cray and has been crashing a lot. So if it crashes multiple times during this episode, it may feel like a Frankenstein kind of episode. So sorry in advance. I'm gonna go hassle Steve Jobs' ghost somewhere after this.
Yeah, I'm going to grab his ghost by his ghost turtleneck.
I'm going to say, why are you doing this to me, Mimicker? So, Real Housewives of Orange County, it picks up where last week left off, which was the Addie's Heart birthday red party with Kelly Dodd telling Shane, you're a bitch. Now I'm like, that's my husband.
You're a dork. Yes, Emily really earned her paycheck. Now, there was some drama last night on L Twitter, which yeah. I think we should start with because sure. It is just so hilarious.
Please.
And we know about this from our Facebook group. So y'all who post all this stuff, thank you so much because you teach me things. I just updated my iPhone. And so now it's like, hey, guess what's new in photos? Hey, guess what? Guess what's old in photos? I want to look at my photos without having to look at your goddamn. Damn it. Now my phone's frozen.
Oh, see, look, I'm telling you, something is in the air. Mercury is retrograde or something.
It is still the most professional show on the internet. Okay, so let me fast forward. I was screenshotting a lot of stuff. So Emily wrote something like, go read my blog, everybody, because as usual, I have the last word, LOL. And then Shannon wrote back, I wouldn't be too sure of that at Real OC Emily. Huh? We have a long season ahead of us, dot, dot, dot. And then Tamara wrote, yeah, the last paycheck. Instead of the last word, which, you know, is Tamara threatening to fire her because Tamara's the head of everything always. You know, fuck you, Tamara. You're the one who brought her on this show. And I said at the first episode she brought her on to yell at her and get revenge because she stayed friends with Ricky. And it looks like that is going to happen. I love being psychic.
Oh, that's really clever. Yeah. Well, Tamara's...
Tamara's a monster, okay?
She is. She really is.
Emily comes back, and she goes, oh, Shannon, don't you have a restroom to go run off to and hide in? Hashtag Shannon storms off. I think that's pretty good. She's like, fuck you, wuss.
It's okay.
And then, it's okay.
It's no king of snarkasm.
And then Tamara Judge writes, don't go into the bathroom, Shannon Batch, dot, dot, dot. She'll come in there and try to kill you. It's like, okay, you're terrible, too.
These are like the sort of, that's like a second grade diss. That's like,
yeah, but it's all of them, you know.
Yeah.
And Kelly has that market cornered, by the way. Let's not try and take Kelly's market, okay? She's the UR of this cast.
Yeah, and she does it well because she usually adds Cut Fitness to it. You are Cut Fitness, which really adds a lot of bite to the standard UR retort, you know? Like, what's rubber? What is it? I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. Cut Fitness.
Yes. And have you noticed that word is totally coming back? And I used to love that word. And I used to say it because, you know, my British friends and stuff in New York would call me that all the time. And then, you know, I had to stop because who says that? Like, it's horrible. But I've noticed it's coming back. Like, people are using it a lot. A lot of women are reclaiming that word.
Cut Fitness is back, everyone.
Yeah, guys, tell your friends. And it's really annoying to me because I feel like I'm being baited, you know? I'm like, oh, they're just telling me it's back. So waiting for, I get in trouble.
You slip up and then you have to do an apology. We have to do an apology episode.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. done it once, and I think that's pretty much all you're going to get out of me. Okay, I really have to fuck up to do that. So let's see here.
So Emily, they're back at the fight.
You said I was, Shane. She said I was a little bitch. And she's like, that's my husband. That's my husband.
You don't fucking talk to my husband. Yeah.
She has a big old bruise on the back of her arm, which is generally the place that abusive people grab you. Mm. I'm just saying, okay? I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying, what an odd place to have an arm. Of course, she also does have three
a
children.
A bruise, you mean?
Yeah, a bruise.
What an odd place to have an arm in your arm socket.
God, it was attached to her shoulder. What an odd design.
I can't help but notice what a strange place for an arm for Emily. Emily has strange arm placement.
Yes, I just don't want to be, you know, suggesting that her husband's abusive. I'm suggesting that she has three children, and children are abusive. Okay, yeah. It's just another pro-choice commercial for Watch It Crappens. You're welcome.
She could have been pile driving a doorknob. You know, she's like, you know what? I've had enough of it. I'm gonna use the people's elbow right now. I'm gonna kill all the knobs. Boom.
So Kelly, who's not drunk at all, is like, go on, hit me. And Emily's like, you animal, you don't talk to my husband like that. Get her the fuck away. I'll fucking kill you.
You don't talk to him like that. Because he has an opinion.
Those are threats, girl. And Gina's like, walk away. Listen to me. Gina, look at me in the face. Okay, you look like you're smelling a fart again. I think you can hear me.
Walk away. Oh, Jesus Christ, what the hell is that? Oh, my God, I thought it was Rumpelstiltskin. It was Shane. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
He's like, do you have the riddle solved yet?
Hey, Kelly, you have the riddle.
No class, none. You don't talk to him like that because he has an opinion.
And Kelly's like, I don't have class. Oh, look at you. Look at you.
I didn't know that was her husband. She's the dude. He's the bitch.
So then Tamara is like, she's like upstairs, like probably doing like an Instagram like photo shoot next to her like hair dryer, and then she's like, here's the commotion. She's like, batch emergency. Boom, boom, boom. bum 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 bum, like comes like tumbling down the staircase. Like, I go upstairs for 5 minutes for a selfie, and this is what happens. Oh my god, I can't buy that.
I like to think Tamara just goes up there and rips off her stupid fake ankle brace and starts tap dancing around. It's like, I just need to get her. So then Vicky is telling us, she's like, Kelly fights me. I would never say some of the things that come out of her mouth. And then we see a montage of Kelly being mean. Yeah. Like when she first met Shannon and looks at her USC phone case and says, University of Spoiled Children. And then, shut the fuck up. You're a fucking cup fitness is what you are. You are so fucking dumb. No wonder your wife cheated on you.
And by the way, with the University of Spoiled Children, it's I still laugh out loud when Shannon goes, successful children, actually. I just love when she bristles.
Does your child have a cover band? No. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe you won't be getting a front row seat to see Locke in concert. Ladies who rock.
So Emily is now sitting with Vicky. And, yeah, she's talking about this stuff. And Shane comes up, the great calming presence that is Shane. He goes, who cares? Who cares? I don't care. If I don't care, why do you care? You're telling me you value her opinion? Who cares? Who cares? You value her opinion? I mean, you know what her opinion's worth? Nothing.
King of Snarkasm!
I'm like, do I still do it this week? Do I not do it? I don't know if it's old this week.
So I do it makes me laugh every single
okay,
time.
I'm going to keep doing it until, like, fuck it. If everyone thinks it's like an old joke, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep doing it as long as Ronnie laughs.
I will never stop, okay? Our listener, Richie, made a little video of that, of the natural that reaction, but he put it over the video from the show. And I love watch it over and over and just crack up every time.
I was mortified. I was like, we sound like idiots. Who? Why? People are like, why aren't you guys bartenders on Watch What Happens Live? I'm like, did you see that
this
video?
Is why.
That's why. Because we're sitting here on the internet going...
Yeah, that's why I'm proud to be an idiot, and I don't want to be no stupid bartender on Watch What Happens Live. Okay, I want to be on Watch What Happens Live.
That's
not
right.
A bartender. I want to be sitting in one of those swivelly chairs, being like, "Hey, what am I in the polls?"
Yeah, see us on the new Bravo show, Bravo Gay by Gay. Listen, a wise man once said, you know what, I don't care, and if I don't care, why do you care?
King of Snarkasm.
And Vicky, you know, Vicky's like way of stirring shit by pretending that she's not stirring shit is so funny. She's telling Emily, you don't want to deal with Kelly, okay? Trust me. Okay, now did she call your husband a bitch before or after? He says something. Vicky trying to piece it all together.
Yeah.
And then Emily's like, the reason I care, Shane, is because you're my husband. You're my husband. And Tamara's like, oh my God, come on. This is amazing. Bad. It's got some. Just smart. You know, it's like, gives Tamara life. And then Shane goes, no, stick with me for a minute, Emily.
Yeah.
Just sit here and chill. I was like, oh, God, you've got a date with Gollum, okay?
I know.
Watch your ring.
Gargamel needs attention. So Emily is
you better put that ring in your bra, girl, because it's about to go missing for a very long time.
Yeah, you better step to attention, Azrael. So... So Emily's like, I can't deal with someone saying something like that. And Shane's like, then don't hang out with her. I don't care. I'm like, first of all, A, she can't not hang out with her because they're on a show together. And B, you do care. Stop saying you don't care. Like, this is like classic, like, nerd. Like, I'm going to take a page out of Kelly's. I'm going to take a page out of Kelly's book. It's classic nerd talk. Nerd. You act like you don't care. You care. You have a heart, Shane. I know you do.
Yeah, that's why you're running inside and hiding behind, you know.
He's been called a little bitch his entire life. Let's be honest. He has, and it shaped him into who he has become. And that's what's unfortunate about us nerds, is that, like, ultimately, we have been, like, it's self-fulfilling prophecy, you know? People say that stuff enough that then you do become what they say. And it's like, it's not fair for Shane. He was formed into this, goo that he's become, and it's, you know, it's sad, sort of, not really.
Look, do what the rest of us do, okay? Get a podcast.
The sad thing is, when I was watching him, I was like, oh my god. I was like, I feel like he's someone I would play board games with. So,
last week when she did that, when she was like, you're just a dork, and you just saw the look in his eyes.
It was like,
and it's like that junior high look, you know, when you're being beat up and thrown into lockers and stuff. You know, I was there, so I saw that, and I did feel for him for a second.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that, and I said this last week, so sorry to repeat, but it is Kelly, a cheerleader, like a gorgeous, popular cheerleader, just finally being like, you're a dork and calling you short and stuff like that. So I did feel bad for him, but, you know, like I always said, sometimes people need to be thrown into a locker.
I agree, because the thing is, you do build those defenses. Like that's the only way he's been called that a lot, and the only way, his only defense mechanism has been to just be sniveling back and like to be like, I don't care, she's drunk, you care what her opinion is. It's the only way that he can defend her, not defend her. The only way he can come back is with that sort of behavior. It's the only way he knows how to protect himself.
Right.
Because if he were to say that her opinion actually matters, then it's like he has to face the hurt of that. But I would feel worse.
Like, because what I just said, I felt bad. I was like, oh my god, he is a dork and she's a bully and she's a cheerleader. So my natural response is,
but
like,
he's also
her.
An adult. He's also an adult,
and he's also sitting there arguing with a woman. Which, fuck you, dude. And he thinks that that's okay because he does it with his wife all the time, who's just like, it's sarcasm. And so he thinks it's hilarious and he can say whatever he wants and make comments like, you're drunk and this is your personality all the time. So yeah, fuck him.
That's the thing. It's like he built up this thing, but now he's old enough where he should work through it and learn how to cope with life. Like, he should. Yeah. He is not an incel. Like, I don't think so. Like, he, at this point, he should have like learned proper social graces and learned how to work through that shit that like informs a lot of people's personalities in high school and college, and like hopefully there's like a course correction as you reach the real world, and sometimes there's not, and sometimes when there's no course correction, you know what you turn into? A little bitch. That's what you are. You're a bitch. You're a dork.
So Emily, he's like, who cares? And Emily says, well, when someone is speaking about my husband, my response is to protect him and my marriage and take Kelly down. I mean, what if the guy was saying that about me? What if the guy did that to me at a party? Does something smell in here? Nope, just my face. And Shane goes, I take you out of the situation and I'd leave. Shrug.
You know what we should do right now? Let's ditch this party and go find some sardines. who wants some anchovies?
No, I just imagine these are things he probably likes to do, which admittedly I would do too. If someone said, you know what, can we just like leave this party and find some sardines? I'd be like, hell yes. So
yeah. Jeez.
Anyway.
Like, let's leave this space where I'm getting called on my shit and go back home where I can just talk to women like this all the time.
So now Emily wants to take Kelly down now. And outside, Tamara, like, goes hobbling over to Kelly and Chan to get the deets. And Kelly's like, she told me she was going to kill me. She told me she was going to kill me.
Kelly's all, I was going to kill me. Oh,
I swear to God.
She called me classless. And she tried to kill me. And she's a lawyer. She's a lawyer? I can sue you right now, you stupid bitch.
You're dumb fuck. That's what you are. I can sue you right now. You're mean. You're dumb fuck. You're a lawyer and I'm the lawyer too. I watched Judge Judy. I'm a person. That makes me, that like if there are multiples of me, I'm people. And therefore I go to people's court.
If I had known Steve was Emily's husband, I wouldn't have called him a pussy. But I don't like people getting in my business. So then Vicky and Steve and Emily are all talking. And Vicky's
most
like,
exciting,
oh my
people at the party.
Yeah, because Tamara's running around going, oh my god, Pash! Everybody's dead! Tamara's like, it's like Tamara's version of passing Carmen out sparklers, you know, 4th of July. She's so excited that this shit went down at her party.
She's just upset that she wasn't, like, at the source of it, you know? So yeah. Steve is with Vicky, and Steve's like, well, I don't know why Kelly's messing with me. I mean, I don't know why. I know why. Because I'm friends with her ex. But you know what, though? He's a great guy. I'm like, is Michael really the hill you want to die on, Steve? Is that real? Think about it. Just think about it.
And again, dum-dums, it's not because you set her husband up It's that Vicky never called her or talked to her about it or anything. Yeah. She had to find out from the internet.
So it all feels sneaky.
Let's stop trying to make it sound. Yeah, you know, they're changing. They're moving the goalposts.
Yeah,
as they say on the internet. So Vicky's like, "Oh my god, she took the fall for you," and he's like, "Oh, this is you women and your silliness, you know." And Vicky's like, "Well, you know me, I'm all about drama and everybody getting along. You know, love, love, love. That's me. We're happy.
You know what
We're
I want
happy,
right
Jesus.
Now?
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You know what I want right now?" And like Shane's like, "Sardines? No, I want my pajamas, hot tea, and Seinfeld." I was like, I did not peg Vicky to be a Seinfeld fan. That was a surprise twist.
Well, so of course he loves a show that's like season after season about nothing. You know, it's like her personality.
She's still trying to figure out what master of my own domain is. She's like, "Yeah, that means they work.
I owe Vicky Gubbleson.com, so suck it.
I'm the master of my own domain. Yeah, me and Linda." So it's like, ooh. So then Vicky's like, "I'm going to go. Bye. Bye. Bye, princess. Bye. Bye, bye.
Yeah,
bye,
everybody,
bye,
needs bye. Everybody needs bye, to go home bye. And sleep it off. Bye, princess. Bye, princess. Bye, 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 bye,
bye. Bye, Kenny.
Get a job. Get a job.
Bye, bye,
bye. You know, try LinkedIn.
Bye.
Try LinkedIn. Bye. Yeah, get a job. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Get a job. You need insurance.
Fight.
Bye. Bye.
Don't drink.
Bye, bye.
Don't
bye,
drink.
Bye. Hey, princess,
no,
bye.
Bye.
It's like 10 minutes later after she's like, "Yes, everyone, goodbye," on the cheek. It's so funny with the stuff they keep in on these shows. Like excessive moments of people saying goodbye or moments of people ordering. But I think that there's actually a reason why. I think it actually, in a weird way, grounds these scenes. And it makes it feel relatable to a party you've been at. You know, it's very weird, but I think that must
be
why they do
that. Well, I think they keep it because it's like little jabs that Vicky makes. It's like, bye, get a job. Bye, don't drink too much. Bye, stop fighting. Bye. It's like every bye is like how she's better than everybody else.
Yeah.
It's like one little thing she sticks in there. Fucking Vicky. So then Kelly, who's just ready to bar brawl at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like Kelly, who's not drunk at all, is is like, "Good luck with your boyfriend. Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah. Good luck with that." And then Vicky just goes away because she's like, "Do not hit me. I'm in my new strapless t-shirt dress. I will not be hit."
Yeah, I'm wearing a scarf now. Don't hit me. So
the cutouts I meant.
Oh, yeah. So Kelly is now with Shannon and Tamara, and she's like, "Yeah, so Michael's dating Steve's ex. Like, the girl that Steve used to date? Michael's dating her now. Michael is. Yeah. And Steve told the girl that he's only using Vicky for money. Yeah, I swear to God. That little bitch said it. I swear to God.
De-Niro.
De-Niro.
De-Niro. Money talks and bullshit walks, okay? You think that guy's going to just hit it and quit it?" It's like she fits as many 90s shit, as many 90s things as she can into one sentence.
He thinks that he's all that with a bag of chips. Oh, did you say, was there a talk of chips being here? I'm sorry. I could really use one. Thank you.
Oh, if anybody sees a little man named Nacho, it would be great to send him on over here.
So Kelly, Tamara's little satanic head pops up and she's like, "Wait, this said it's bigger for money? Really? Bad." And Kelly's like, "Yeah, in my book, he's a bad guy. He's hiding something. And everyone should know what kind of person he is."
And then meanwhile, there's like a then Tamara goes over to Eddie and is like, "Are you enjoying a birthday party?" And there's like this quick cutaway shot where Tamara's talking to someone off camera and she goes, "Tell Sophia she can eat food whatever she wants." I'm like, what is Sophia not normally allowed to eat food? What is going on in this household?
No, Tamara's probably the type to like be like, "Okay, chicken breasts. Okay. That's that.
2 corn nuts and some chicken breasts."
Did you notice when Shannon says something like, "Oh God, you really think that he's just with her for her money?" She goes, "Yeah, I mean, is the Pope Catholic?" And then they did a little violin sound effect to Shannon's eyes because she looked to the side and went blink, and she looked back at Callie and went blink.
She's like, "Is this going to get me in trouble?" And then meanwhile, Tamara's like, "I don't know the answer to that question, bitch."
Did you have fun at your party? I forgot to get you a present.
And he's like, "You are my present, shrunk."
But I wouldn't mind some Lady Gaga tickets, so.
Please don't make me take a bath with you tonight. Please!
David? David? I think it's time to go to commercial. Do you want to go to commercial, David? David? David?
So now it's the next day, and Vicky is over at Tamara's place. Tamara's like busying herself chopping up little sweet peppers. And so they are just recapping the night before and the fight and everything. And Vicky's talking about how Kelly still apparently has issues about Steve being friends with Michael.
Yes. Hey, girl, I rang your doorbell. Oh, I like your doorbell. It's very loud. It's a very loud doorbell.
That's nice.
Your house is clean. Wow, look at that. Wow. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Do you have a Roomba? You should get a Roomba. You should really try to work it out with a Roomba.
Oh, good. You have a sign that says kitchen. Good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you have that. Oh, good. You got a checkerboard tea kettle. Good, good. I like that. It's whimsical. Reminds me of the Manzas. Yeah.
So Tamara says, oh, my God. I haven't heard from Emily yet, but she's going to come over. I just need to know what's happening because I got two stories. I got to get to the bottom of this. How about you get your own fucking storyline for once, Tamara? Okay? Yeah. Jesus is busy this season.
Yeah. Like, start a fight.
Yeah, do something on your own, you hanger on. So Vicky says, I know exactly what happened. It's very clear. I can tell you, look at this. Look at this. I still have a printer at home. Okay. Then a bird slams into the kitchen window and dies. She's like, sorry, I guess they're following me now. I don't know how that happened.
I don't even get that reference, but
it's
like
at her office. Linda's birds keep slamming into the windows, Vicky. God.
God, what does that mean? It's my dad. He's lost.
It's like that anywhere that Vicky goes, birds are just slamming into the window and falling to the ground dead.
They need to work. That's what I gotta say. They need to work. They have to work things out. So she reads for the Page Six article where basically Steve is like, yeah, Michael, I'm friends with Michael, or whatever it is. And Vicky's saying that Steve just said it, like, they called up Steve and he said, yeah, you know, Michael, he's a cool guy, whatever. That's how Vicky says it was. I think Kelly's whole issue is, like, he shouldn't have said anything in the first place. Like, don't talk to Page Six about my divorce. I think that's her issue. In the context of the fact that this was all sort of behind her back.
And that's just she didn't know, you know. And so, of course, Kelly's, like, super mature when she gets back because she goes. So then, he says that no matter if it hurt her, I didn't mean to hurt her, but that's just how it happened. That's just how it is, you know. And then suddenly she puts this tweet, Steve Lodge is a D-bag with his pig of a girlfriend and I'm 42. I mean, why does she say that after that? Oh, my God, Ding Dong, my favorite thing. It's the bell. My favorite bell.
Oh, my God, the doorbell. That doorbell, it's wonderful. Ding, ding, ding. What a great sound. Oh, my God. Have you ever heard a clock tower?
That is so.
You know what goes? Dong, 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 dong. Dong, 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 dong. That's amazing. Amazing song.
I'm gonna go see the movie, the tower with, what is that movie? That movie? The tower with clocks in its walls. Is that what it's called?
It's like
I'm gonna go see. I'm gonna go see the tower with Bobbitt as well. Okay.
I love that good ring. You know, I love that ring so much. I went and rented the ring. It was not about doorbells, though. I was very, very disappointed.
So,
but it was great to see you in a starring role, Tamara. Tamara just crawls out of a well. Hey, Batch. It crawls back in. You know, the ring is like the last horror movie I saw, so that's like the reason why I mention it so much, because I have not updated my horror references.
You love your ring. I like to think as Tamara more as that little doll from Insidious, where she's just like a little doll in a cage, and people move in, they're like, oh my God, look, a little natural old lady doll. This is crazy, and it's like so innocent. Let's just leave it in the cage. And then the mom turns crazy and starts murdering everybody. You
is
know,
that, is that Insidious or is that The Conjuring?
Oh, for Christ's sake, I don't know.
I mean, I didn't see either because they're too scary. I'm like, the trailer will do me fine. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Well, we should have just gone straight to House of Wax, really. Talking about Real Housewives.
I think we're already there. We're there already. So, speaking of which, Emily shows up and she's like, hi, well, I should have been more reasonable last night. That's me, Emily, reasonable. Okay. And
I mean, I'm saying I'm going to kill her. I mean, obviously, it's a figure of speech. And Tamara goes, okay, this much I know. Kelly is Kelly. And sometimes she says things. And then we get a clip in Ireland.
Yes.
Tamara being mean to Kelly and Kelly walking away going, God, no wonder a kid doesn't want to be your... No wonder a kid's ghosting her or whatever. Yeah. And Tamara's like, how dare you? And then to dramatize in the car with Shannon going,
She's like panting. By the way, speaking of figure of speech, Shannon Bedore apparently tweeted last night something like,
well, I certainly have never heard of I'm going to kill you all as a figure of speech. I've never used it at all.
And then Leanne Locken replied to her with a like a gif that was just like, OMG, as in like I say it all the time. Like,
yeah.
Oh, this like, the food was wonderful here. Thank you so much. I'm going to kill you. Figure of speech.
Hey, I asked for a bread refill. I'm going to kill you. Thank you, Pedro. Thank you. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to all and to all. I'm going to kill you. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. Yay, God, I'm going to kill you, God.
Okay. So Vicky, yeah, Vicky's like, Oh, no, you go ahead. I really don't know what we're still talking about this
scene. I don't know why. Nothing like happens in the scene, but we're just talking about it. But basically, Vicky thinks that Kelly wants to see her and Steve fall apart. And,
oh, yeah. And she's like, well, she doesn't give a fuck about Steve. Miserable people just want other people miserable. That's what it is. That miserable people love misery. Misery loves misery, okay? Misery companies are full of misery who loves misery companies. You know?
I know for a fact, because one time I rented Misery, and then I was like, oh, my God, I want someone else to rent this, too. I was like, misery loves misery. So Tamara, she's like, well, Kelly said that Steve is only with you for your money. And I like that, like, Tamara says this, and then later on in the episode, Tamara's like, I don't think she really loves him. And I'm like, but here she's acting like she's just a messenger, when obviously, later on, she's acting like, you know Tamara. What I'm saying? So then she goes,
Tamara spends the first part of every season trying to get everybody to do what she wants to. And then at the end of the season, when it doesn't work, because everybody else is kind of an adult, and they can just talk it over and be done with it, then Tamara comes in with the big guns and starts screaming and yelling her head off. I mean, it happens every single year.
And so then after she says this, what Kelly said, Tamara tells us, I thought it was appropriate to tell Vicky what she said. You know, because the worst thing is in this group is like when a rumor goes around and around and around and doesn't go to the actual person. I'm like, no, you have not, like, you were not doing any favors right now. You were just part of the rumor chain. You're just the one who delivered the rumor. Like, you, like the, she's basically saying a rumor is just going to go around from person to person to person to person and eventually get to Vicky. Well, guess what? That's what it's been doing. And you're the one who brought it to Vicky. You do not get any awards for just being the last part of the daisy chain, man.
Yeah, also, Kelly would have said it right to Vicky's face, and I'm sure she probably will say it right to Vicky's face, because when Vicky was leaving, Kelly was like, good luck with that, like trying to get Vicky to stay, and Vicky was refusing to fight. So I'm sure that all that stuff that Kelly said, she was waiting to scream it in Vicky's face.
Yeah, exactly. And then Vicky's mad. She's like, shame on her for talking about my relationship. You know, and she's like, pointing this at her.
Everyone's always after what I have!
By the way, I don't have very much money, so nobody asked me for anything.
Anyway, so now we go on.
Just a note. Just please. A small note, and we'll move on.
Please,
Vicky,
Ronnie.
Ain't nobody jealous of one goddamn thing you have. Okay?
Yeah.
Not a one.
Once
not
you got
your
rid
cutout
of-
dresses, not your lease car. Not your fake companies. None of it. Okay, CAC? With your fake cancer insurance that you totally made up while your boyfriend was lying about having cancer. Okay, with the herbal supplements that you were trying to sell while your boyfriend was fucking faking cancer. I really can't wait till you start talking about Christianity, ma'am. Okay.
I was slightly jealous of her Caliente sign, but, you know, that's a different era, a different time in our lives. So now we go on to Shannon going on her first blind date. Ha! So it's her first blind date since separating from David. So she's showing up at someplace, maybe the Regis or whatever, St. Regis, wherever it is, she is limping out of the car because apparently this season's all about foot injuries. So she still has her issue, and she's going on a blind date with a guy named Tom, which, of course, I'm sure anyone who watches Housewives snickers at the mere mention of the word Tom. I know I did. So she meets him, and he is handsome, a little gayish, a little gayish, not because he's sensitive, just a little gayish. Because he's like, hey, gorgeous. Oh, my God. I can't believe you wore those high heels with a busted ankle. Oh, my God. I was like, no, I'm not trying to out anyone, but I was feeling a vibe.
Also, he seems to be at that place a lot because the hostess says, hello, ma'am. What do you want, basically? And Shannon's like, I'm here to meet a friend. His name is Tom. And she goes, oh, Mr. Hohen, right this way. Like, oh, Snapple. So, yeah, he's like, you are gorgeous. I love, okay, I was married too. Well, first they sit in front of the fire. Yeah. And Shannon's like, can we turn off this fire? It is so hot. Okay, you're right, but maybe ask for a different table, because, like, this is for the whole restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and the ambience.
And he's like, it is kind of hot. I agree! So, he's so nervous that he orders a vodka Tito's with tonic instead of a vodka tonic with Tito's. So, that was cute. I mean, I like Tom. Let me tell you something. I think Tom is a great choice, and I think that they would make a great couple together.
Yeah, but he just says all the wrong things. He's like, well, I've been divorced, too, and basically the first year, all I did was just cry. And she goes, ow! And
she's like, she was so happy. That was like the moment she deflated right there. Yeah. That was the...
He goes, you know, like the Sarah McLachlan with the dogs video. You know what I'm talking about. Weeping. Basically weeping on the floor, sobbing. Okay, I had to actually drink salt water because my body was deficient.
Oh, and then Shannon goes from like being enthusiastic to being like, oh, okay, very, very well. Well, I'm just gonna look down at an imaginary spot on the tablecloth and just sort of stare at that for a moment and give a nice curt response and go, oh, okay. So, and then he's like, so, oh, and this is also in the context that he asked about David. He's like, so, does your ex, was he like really sporty? He played sports? She goes, oh, you mean David? David, yeah, no, he worked out, so, Thanks for mentioning him. I was trying not to think about him on the date. Thank you.
Want to cry about it? You can. God, so sad. Even I'm about to cry. Can I cry? Do you mind if I cry?
He's a little bitch, huh? He's a little bitch. Oh, wow. Kelly really is rubbing off on me. So she tells us. Yeah.
She tells us. Well, I've never been with somebody who cries, so clearly Tom is sensitive. I like Tom, but God, cries and a lot of cats.
A lot of crying and cats. God, that's two things that sound like this. Wow! And I don't know if I could be the third. I kind of think that Shannon needs a guy who can cry. I that's her problem. She's with, like a stone pillar. She's been with a stone pillar of a man, and now I think she needs someone who's emotional and sensitive.
Not when you're emotional and sensitive.
No, but that'd because be so fun to watch.
Like, you need to, like, Shannon is the one who cries, you know? It's like, how could you order me chicken wings on my birthday when you know? Like, Shannon is just, she cried the whole damn time. She's cried ever since we've known her on this show, you know?
I know, but, like, so it's like she fighting fire with husband. Fire, you know?
Yeah, but tears aren't fire, they put out fire. You know what I mean? It's just like water on water. It leads to mold.
I know what you're saying. She's the crier, so she needs someone who's a little bit more emotionally stable. But I feel like she would feel so emotionally gratified if the two of them just like held each other and cried once a week. You know, just like had a good cry together. They watch an AT&T commercial from the 80s. And they're like, let's do it. Let's cry. We gotta cry. This one up. Can we just reaching out? She's reaching out to her father. Ah, long distance. It was so affordable for them.
Oh, who's crying harder? I'm crying harder now. He's like, wah,
wah, wah. I think it would be. I think she would like that. I think she would actually really like that. A man she can cry with. I think she would.
Okay, well, I guess we'll see, but I don't think so, because she doesn't seem to like guys with 20 cats who cry. But we'll see.
Man, well, it's better than a man who's going to take her to Harley Davidson, which is what Steve does for Vicky. I'm like, oh, God.
Don't you love when your man buys you something he wants?
I feel like the last time we went to a Harley Davidson dealership on the show, didn't Simon bring Tamara to Harley Davidson, and then she got, like, that Simon tattoo on her finger, and, like, he got... it's like... Ugh, like, please, why, this is Bravo, why are you forcing Harley Davidson on us? We're here to watch Bravo, not Harley Davidson. Like, we're not watching A&E, we're not watching Discovery, okay? We are watching Bravo, sir.
Happy birthday, you get motorcycle leathers. Yeah. Yay, and a helmet. So then we cut to Gina FaceTiming Tamara. And Tamara's like, I'm packing for Disney World, I'm just concerned about this, but some of us. I'm like, oh, okay, who cares? Fast forward.
I'm like, you live next to Disneyland. Why are you doing this to yourself? I mean, I know they're different. Yeah. There's a world of difference, truly a world of difference. But seriously, you're next to Disneyland.
Oh, yeah, they went to Disney World. Yeah,
yeah, they went to Disney World.
Disney World's better.
I mean, it's way, way better. It is way better. Okay, I understand. I understand. I just wanted to, I wanted to feel anger about something, and I felt like this was, I was going to do it right there. I know. I get it. Disney World is way better. It's so much better. It is actually so much better. Like the Magic Castle in, or the whatever, the Cinderella's Castle in Disney World is, like, huge. And the one in Disneyland is literally shorter than my apartment building. And I'm on the fourth
floor. Yeah, and it's not cute. And Disneyland isn't very well kept. It looks really kind of like...
I think it's well kept. I just don't think it's as interesting. And there, Tomorrowland is all, like, it's all, like, a 1920s view of the future, whereas Disney World's Tomorrowland is like a 1960s or 1980s view of the future, which I like more.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Thank you.
It's like, you know, Tamra. She's like, oh my God, the future is now.
I can't believe you just compared Tamra to Tomorrowland. It's Tamraland. They call
it's
it
like
Tamraland.
Yesterday. You just see, like, different versions of Tamra's face as you spin around on the little travel thing.
I feel like... I feel like having a relationship with Tamra is sort of like going on Space Mountain, you know? You have to strap yourself in, and you get plunged into darkness, and you're going... You're moving in so many different directions, you don't know which way is up, and you're terrified the entire time. And when it's over, you're like, that was horrifying, and I think I might do it again.
Yeah, you think it was really fun, but you were in the dark, and then the pictures you see after, you can realize how upset you really were by the whole experience.
And at certain times of the year, instead of seeing planets, you see monsters in the sky. It's Halloween.
Yeah, I like the thought of her in Tomorrowland, because you know how that one switches, it like turns you around and stuff. Or maybe that's Haunted Mansion, that where you're on that thing and it keeps swiveling around. Like the thing that you're in swivels around.
Oh, yeah, when you're
different
in
things.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably...
I like that, because you're swiveling down and Tamara's like, if anybody ever talks about my husband, and then it swivels around and shows Tamra talking shit about everybody else's husband. It's like Tamara's like contradictions and hypocrisy, you know?
Tamra is basically like, she's also like all those generic rides that are in the you know, the Fantasyland, which is like the boring one, which is like, it's like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride or Snow White, where you get on a little cart and you just, like, ride around through happiness. It's like, oh, nice and everything. Mr. Toad's... She's actually Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, because everything is nice and lovely. You're in the forest with all the woodland creatures, and just when everything seems to be nice, your little cart gets plunged into darkness, and you go to hell. The ride actually goes to hell, because you get run over by a car in the middle of the ride, and then you're in hell. You're in little Toad hell, and that is Tamra right there, Toad hell.
Tamra's every wench in Pirates of the Caribbean.
She's also like every little doll in It's a Small World, you know, because she's like, she's gonna just like fucking get into your head whether you like it or not. You're like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna have coffee with Tamra. It's a small world after all, bitch. It's a small world after all, bitch. It's a small world after all, bitch. It's a small world after all, batch. And then like you leave, you're like, it's a small world. And that's how she gets in your head.
Small batch after all, batch. And then she's always whispering. You know how those dolls are always turning to each other and whispering? And it's like by the end, they're all just setting each other's worlds on fire, you know?
It doesn't matter what country she's in. She's going to get into your head and she's going to instigate some shit.
It starts all peaceful, and by the end, It's a Small World is up in flames. You know, everybody's like murdering each other, throwing each other off the platforms.
Yeah, she is fully like that. She is fully, fully like that.
So then we get, so I'm coming out of Disneyland, guys, don't worry. So Emily and Kelly is like, we haven't seen each other, maybe we should have a talk. And Kelly's like, okay. So in the meantime, Gina arrives to talk about her divorce, which I couldn't give two craps about. How about you?
Zero craps, because we never even met the guy. Yeah, it was a boring scene. But here's why. We never met the guy. We just see wild children in a poorly decorated house with a fireplace that's not centered properly. So why am I supposed to care?
Yeah, Gina just keeps repeating the same. She's a big repeater, you know? She's one of those girls you'll spend 3 hours on the phone with telling you all about her husband, and then you'll call to check up on her, and she'll tell you all those stories again. And then you realize she's not talking to me. She's just perfecting her monologue.
Yeah, because she has no one else to talk to. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and it's the same exact thing over and over. She's like, I don't feel like my marriage was a failure. I just feel that it's ending. It's not that we failed. It's just that we're going into different chapters now.
I grew up in a bubble of Long Island, and we came here, and there was so much space, and he went over there, and I went over here, and I was like, oh my God, we have a picnic table for a dining room table. I don't know, what sort of life is this? I don't know if I want it anymore. We're just growing apart. Like, even Emily's like, I'm Emily, and you're boring me. So, yeah.
Like, you walk into my house and you think everything's perfect. No, we don't. No. You just literally have a sign that says perfect. That's what it's like. You're forcing people to say things in your house.
You have the most unperfect house on Bravo at the moment. Like, it's so clearly imperfect, really, based on the decor alone. Like, really, just take it. No one could even be living in there. Just looking at, I'm like, you are the one that's buying this stuff from TJ Maxx, okay? This is you. You're the one. We're wondering who is buying it. It's you. Yes, of course there's problems in your marriage, because he's coming home and he's seeing this shit, and he's like, is this what I married? Is this what I moved to California for? I want open space. I want no clutter. I want decor from CB2.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell because we don't really know his side of the story. So all I can go off...
Oh, he's terrible. You know he's terrible.
Yeah, he's hot, though. I mean, but all I can go off is what I've seen, which is they moved to OC, then he got a job in LA, and she wanted to stay in OC because she's on this show. So I'm not really sure who's right or who's wrong in this situation, but it seems like those are the bare minimum facts,
right?
They
also act like he moved to Alaska, okay? He is like... Yeah, sure, he's like a little bit north of LA, so it's still a pain in the ass, but you know, though, people make that commute as it is anyway, so just...
Even see friends in Santa Monica.
Oh, I agree. Listen, I wouldn't do it, but I'm just saying, like, if you have a family, you can make it work, because a lot of people do, okay? So, I have a friend who lives in Silver Lake who works in Irvine, so think about that, huh?
I will.
Please. So anyway...
Oh, I will.
So anyway, so now we... when we transition out of the scene, we see something that is so Orange County. It's probably just Southern California in general. So, it's probably LA too. It's these two red Chevy muscle cars. I think they were probably Camaros or something. But they were definitely red Chevys tailgating each other as they speed down the road. I was like, two fucking assholes right here. Identical
twins.
Cars. Twins. Did you see those cars? Did you see that?
They were twin cars, like, trying to race each other.
I was like... Okay, this is clearly Tamara's son and, like, one of the OC angels getting their rocks off.
Yeah, totally. One of the OC angels.
It's one of Tammy Knickerbocker's daughter's boyfriends. So
yeah, that was really gross. And, of course, it leads right into Vicky's birthday, which is also gross. So they go to some Mexican restaurant, and Steve's like, congratulations, I'm having a birthday party with all of my family.
Yeah.
Just another thing that every woman wants. Vicky, this is not the man for you. I hate agreeing with Tamara, but this is not the guy for you.
Well, they walk in, and she's like, we don't have a reservation. And then they turn, and there's like three people. Surprise! She's like, oh my God! And it's Steve's mom, Helga, and his aunt, Ursula. I want to know about Helga and Ursula, just on the names alone.
Yeah. Well, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe we pulled it off. It's a surprise. Oh my God, I feel so popular. I'm like, really? With the mom and the great aunt? And the mom's like, you deserve it. Which I don't know. Where she's from or what kind of accent that was, but I thought that was hilarious. They need to follow her.
Switzerland. I firmly believe it's Switzerland, and I just want to, like, can we stop this season and just follow her back to the Alps where she is from? I'm like, I'm Switzerland and Alps. Anyway.
Talking about all this going back through time. I'd like to go back through time and see where he got Chavez from.
I can tell you, actually. Thank you for bringing that up, because I actually did research, and I found there's a surprise twist. So he actually was born Steve Chavez, and his stepfather is Lodge. And so he always went by Steve Lodge. And where all the shenanigans, where all the controversy came from about, like, oh my God, Chavez, is that he always went by Steve Lodge through all his formal government records, everything he did. But when he ran for office in Anaheim back in 2012, suddenly Chavez reappeared. And so someone sued saying he was being like he wasn't being honest or whatever, that he was using Chavez for political gain, which is pretty much what it looked like. So that's where that all came from. And during my research, what I found out, his brother is Roger Lodge.
I don't know who that is.
Of Blind Date. Speaking of Blind Dates, huh? Blind Date.
Oh.
Remember Blind Date? Roger Lodge was the host of Blind Date. And if you think about it, they do look alike. And if you look up Roger Lodge was born Rogelio Chavez.
Oh my God. And then, yeah, Shannon went on her blind date.
And then there were talk bubbles. So it all makes sense. So yeah, so he really is Steve Chavez Lodge. But the shiftiness is that, like, he really only brought out the Chavez part when it seemed to suit him politically. I think the big takeaway is that his brother's Roger Lodge. That's, like, my favorite thing that I learned today. I'm, like, really excited about that.
Well, while we're talking about appropriating culture, here's Billy in a sombrero.
I know. And the music is like... I'm like, oh, my God.
You guys are whiter than a flour tortilla. Can we all just stop, please?
On the 1 to 10, this is a 10. This is a 10. I'm like, there's like four people here, including Alfredo, Heather DeBro's busboy.
And Vicky's like, oh my gosh, did you know he was coming? Did you know Steve? And did you know Mike? And Mike's like, yeah, Mom, I organized it. She goes, oh, thanks, Steve. And he's like, gosh, no, Mike did it. Oh, thank you, Steve. Thank you. Thank you, Steve, for everything you do for me. I'm like, what part of your son did it do you not understand, Vicky?
I know. And Vicky's like, I want to be Vicky Chavez. Vicky Chavez Lodge. That's what I'm going to be. Vicky Chavez. And I just felt like I could hear the entire Latino community of planet Earth saying, no, 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 no. Please, yeah, no, yeah. No.
Yeah, TVs all across America are now covered in bean dip from people just losing it. And being like, fuck you, Vicky. And then Vicky's like, you better not let me dead, Mr. Chavez, or I'm going to tell your brother. And if you're sick, I want medical records. Okay? I'm not falling for that again. Jeez, Vicky, way to bring Brooks up and the surprise party that Steve planned for you.
It's like, I date for love. I date for love. I don't care about stuff. I care about the person. I would date a trash collector if that's who I fell in love with. A very rich trash collector.
Yeah, Vicky, Billy's like, no, you wouldn't, Vic. You wouldn't date a waiter. It's like, I would. I would date a trash collector. He goes, really? Hey, what do you think, Steve? And Steve goes, I think what she means is she doesn't need to be with the man just because of his money, unlike some people we know. Okay, Steve, now you two, now you're going to be a little bitch too. So now we've got Steve and Shane as the new housewives of this show. And I love it because I cannot wait for Steve to get ramrodded by Kelly.
I don't think that Steve is a little bitch. I think Steve is just sort of, he's like a Nilla wafer, you know? Just like...
He's like a Nilla wafer who wants to fight with other girl Nilla wafers instead of other boy Nilla wafers.
You know, I have very mixed feelings on that because, like, the chivalrous side of me is like, a man shouldn't fight with a woman. Well, a man should definitely not raise a hand to a woman ever. No one should really raise a hand to anyone. But, like, a man... I firmly believe that. But, like, this whole thing of, like... It bothers me... In a weird way, it bothers me. Like, we see it a lot on Atlanta of, like, a man can only fight with a man, and a woman can only fight with a woman. And there's something kind of... There's something, like, old-fashioned about that that makes me feel weird. I kind of feel like if a woman is being rude to a man can clap back. I kind of feel like we should be at that place. And I, just as a woman should be allowed to clap back to a man. But then at the same time, I also understand it's kind of... I understand both sides, and I don't know how I feel. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like you just need to be a fucking gentleman about it, okay? It's not like it's every woman in the world, but if it's a friend of your wife and you're...
So here's the thing.
You're at a party or something with somebody, and some lady tries to start shit with you. Why couldn't he just say, Kelly, I really didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I apologize that it did hurt your feelings.
I agree. That's 100%.
I am friends with your ex-husband, and we should have told you, and I get that you're offended because we didn't say anything. We were just in an awkward position.
I agree.
You know, Kelly's easy to talk down if you just talk her down from that ledge, but instead, he acts like a fucking prick about it, and he's disrespectful, and Shane's the same way.
Well, I agree.
Fucking get into an argument with a woman. That is just crazy, okay? Well, that we don't have the right to. It's that you just need to be a fucking gentleman about it, you know? Well,
no, I agree. Like, he should have been a gentleman. It's not even about being a gentleman. It's that he should have just been, like, a decent person and said exactly what you said. But I just – you know what it is? I feel where I start to feel weird when people say, like, well, you shouldn't be fighting with a woman. It's almost as if to say, like – I know you're not saying it, but I feel like the implication that gets sort of like reiterated through these things is that, like, you know, a man will fight with a man, and we'll leave the women to fight over women's stuff. And it sort of implies that, like, women's shit is just trivial and, like, lesser than. And I know you're not saying that, but I think that's, like, the underlying message that gets put forth. And I don't know how to, reconcile the urge to be, like, yeah, like I get it. A man should be gentlemanly with that idea of, like, but I don't want to be, but how do we not say that without being totally patronizing to what women are, like, fighting about, you know?
Well, I think women have taken enough shit of men talking down to them without having some man just come be disrespectful at them in, like, some social thing.
Well, that's,
I mean, it's not the disagreeing. Ding, it's ding. Not the disagreeing. It's the way that they do it. Like, Peter is the one that was called a bitch on Real Housewives of Atlanta, because Peter gets right into it and starts screaming and yelling, you know, like a bitch. Like, he really does. So,
well, but there's also this interesting thing where it's like, I want my man to defend me, and then, like, when a guy, like, butts in, it's like, oh, he's a bitch. So, like, what do people really want, you know?
I don't know. I mean, ain't that last question? What do we want?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we'll get back to the recap in, like, literally 10 seconds. But I think what's interesting about this entire conversation is that, like, our views on how we treat, like, our views on how we treat women, or the roles that women have always been put in and men have been put in, are changing. And what I struggle with is trying to figure out a way to give respect that has not been given before, while at the same time also acknowledging, like, that I understand these other impulses. And it's like, we're in a time of transition. I think it's a good thing. There.
Yeah. Well, I'm here to watch. I'm not here to watch men, you know, fight with women. Like, I'm just not into. I mean, Shaw's, that's a different thing. Something like Shaw's, we don't talk like this on Shaw's of Sunset. This is specifically a show about women being friends. So it's different.
Yeah.
But
he still should have been. You know, he still did. But the point still remains that what you said of what he should have said.
Oh, my
true.
God. I know. But you know what? This is the time we're living in now, where it's like, this is every discussion, and it makes me crazy.
Yeah,
and
it
makes
not
me
about
crazy
political
that we
correctness.
Even are doing it.
It's not about political correctness. It's just like, it's an aware. I think we are just in a time where we are, like, we are becoming more aware that, like, throwaway comments, they really contribute to these deep, like, paradigms that we have in society. And so it's not about being politically correct of, like, no, that's not nice anymore. It's more like thinking of, like, wow, like, how can I change how I say things, that way I can stop a cycle, you know? Because one of the reasons why these cycles, like, continue forward of racism and homophobia and sexism is because there are so, like, tiny little things that just contribute to it. And so, but at the same time, I also don't want to be overly ridiculous, like totally policing every single thing I say. But at the same time, sometimes I'm like, things pop up where I'm like, it's more like a flag goes off. Being like, this is another example of how we get sort of like, we sort of get goaded into certain mentalities about how we treat women versus men, etc. That's all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just watching this for housewives, not the boyfriends or husbands of the housewives. And it's always bugged me when they start fighting. So when he makes little comments like, we're not doing it, you're not just with me because of my money, unlike some people we know. It's like, oh, really, Steve? You can't even just take this nice moment to, like, have fun and not poke at somebody. You're not in this cast, okay? You are a friend of, at best, sir.
Well, he has... Here's the thing. I don't begrudge him saying that, but I feel like if you're going to start acting like that, be more interesting.
Right.
That's
well,
all.
Yeah,
just
I don't know that. I don't know that Steve's going to be able to change that part.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Like we said, vanilla wafer. So
he already tried, and it was going to the Harley store. Nope, you're still boring. Now you're just a boring guy on a very dangerous vehicle, sir.
Yeah.
So next up, Vicky is trying to be like, best day ever. It's the best day ever. Oh my God, it's the best birthday. And she's primmy. She's posing and, like, smiling, like she's hamming it up. And it's like the most boring shit we've ever sat through. I even felt bad for Vicky, and I never feel bad for Vicky.
I know. She's pretending like she can't do a shot anymore. I'm like, oh, like, if this is going to be Steve's legacy, that Vicky won't be doing shots anymore, then that's the biggest offensive thing that he's done. Most offensive thing. So now it's the next day. And guess what? No, never one to be left behind. Vicky now has a leg problem too. Her foot has swollen up, and luckily, she and Shannon are going to see Dr. Moon to get it all fixed. Ha! Ha!
And then Dr. Moon's like, well, I hope you're going to be able to relax this time. She's like, well, I mean, you were putting your finger on my butthole. So.
Yeah. So Dr. Moon starts working on Shannon. And he starts using some magnets to find her pain. She's like, ow! Ow! Magnets! Magnetic field! Ow!
In the past, Dr. Moon has helped me with problems that internalize inside of me. Anger in the liver, resentment in the gallbladder, sadness in the lungs.
It's like, how are you even alive right now? Psychological debris. For anybody who was ever on the fence about Shannon, this is why I will always love Shannon. When she thought she had something stuck in her butt and made David put his fingers up there, and it turned out to be a bit of psychological debris, I will never forget. I'll never be able to forget that.
Yeah.
And I think that cemented her time on Housewives for as long as she just needs to be here.
That was actually such an iconic moment. I feel like it doesn't get recognized in the larger pantheon of Housewives moments as much as it really should, because that was truly an excellent moment. Oh, it makes me sad. That's when this show is really firing on all cylinders. That stretch of seasons there. It's a sad that we're where we're at right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So Dr. Moon is stabbing Vicky in her hand to make her ankle feel better, which is funny. And
it's Shannon. She's doing it to Shannon. She's like, no, don't make it hurt. Come on.
I mean, just looking at the Shannon storyline, because she says, I've been coming here since before my children were born, and God, it helps. Does it?
Does it?
It doesn't really. Let's just look at the timeline of how things have gone down.
I feel like the track record. Yeah, I feel like the results have not been great for Dr. Moon's treatment. But either way, Vicky gets up on there to get treated, and he's like, oh, you have sadness here because you have anger in your liver, and the anger has led to insurance policies in the intestine. That's weird. I've never noticed that before. So.
Oh, yeah, I was lied to and stolen from. Oh, okay. Okay, Vicky. So she's talking about Brooks. He didn't glue those teeth into his own mouth, lady.
Actually, he might have. Okay. Knowing
you don't give somebody, a dollar on the street and then come home and tell your friends somebody stole a dollar from you. Okay, you gave that dollar up willingly.
Well, either way, she is a little angry these days because Brooks just got married, and she's not happy about it. Which is, of course, fueling the other ladies to speculate that she still has feelings for Brooks, which of course she does, you know? So, yeah.
I think she still probably bones Brooks on, like, business trips and stuff. Because that's how they started. That's my guess. Always going to, like, meet up and, like, have secret boning sessions.
They have actually probably done so many wonderful things for national security, because you know that they have had some, like, X-rated FaceTiming sessions, and whatever Russian spies were like, they're like, okay, you know what? Now is the time we take our operation to a next level. We spy on all Americans. And someone's like, all right, I'm going to look at right now what is this one right here, and this is Mrs. Vicky Gunvalson. Abort mission. Abort spy on America. No, let's go back to Gulag. Gulag time. Hey.
Oh, roses are red, violets are blue. I'm going to stick my penis in you.
Okay, this is enough. This is enough. Never again.
Even Bueller is upset about this.
Bueller is disgusted. Bueller, shush. Get out, babe.
Bueller.
Amazon Prime. I need Bueller.
Oh, I'm so jealous you're getting an Amazon Prime box.
Hell yeah, I am. I got so many things off Amazon Prime. I went on I had a day in bed, and Lord, I don't even need half the shit that's coming. I'm already tired from, like, you know, ripping apart the boxes and stacking them properly, and I haven't even started doing it yet.
I have in my cart, I have some really mundane things that are, like, ready to go. Like, I just have to, like, press the button, and let me tell you something. You know what's in my Amazon cart? Well, I have some ThermoPro instant read meat thermometer, and also some blue fenugreek from Georgia, Europe.
Wow.
Yeah.
A meat thermometer. I've got like three. I love buying meat thermometers. I'm like, what is the meat thermometer technology?
I want an instant read one because this is electronic. I have a non-electronic one, and I have to tell you, I hate watching that thing go up because it takes forever, and I never know when it's truly going to stop. I just want like a digital output that says, this is what the damn meat is. This is how hot it is, okay? That's all I want, you know, because I overcooked a sausage today, and I was like, I can't believe I overcooked a sausage.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
What do you think Vicky's temperature would be if you shoved it up her Dr. Moon butt?
It's warm because my love tank is full of Steve Lopez. I mean, Steve Chavez. So now
okay,
Gina.
So the music's like, like a party. And it's like Gina crying on the FaceTime with her mom about getting divorced.
Yeah, something is off, and I'm starting to have some feelings of self-awareness, you know? And anyway, I feel like there's a disconnect, and you know what I'm saying? And mom's like, I do.
Heard it 5 times a day, Gina. Could you come up with some new line?
Divorce.
She's like, it's like death by a thousand paper cuts.
Okay, fast forward.
Yeah.
Okay, so now a commercial for Aldi. Shop differently, in case anybody needed to be brainwashed a little more to go get their wine from their Aldi.
Yeah, okay? And then we go, and Emily is meeting up with Kelly at Madison Square Garden and Cafe, which, if memory serves me correctly, that's where Shannon and Kelly once tried to make a amends 2 years ago when they were like not getting along and they had like 10 different coffees and kept on fighting at each one. I specifically yes. remember this place.
It is this. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't just me.
Because I wrote down, is everywhere just outdoors now in OC?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of sets like that. So Kelly. Basically they meet up and Kelly.
Have a nice tea? And some fruit. Do you have any fruit, like Shane? Oh, sorry. He's a fruit loop. Little bitch fruit.
The music is like dun 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 dun. And then Kelly comes in this like weird fur thing. And the music switches to dum da 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 dum. It's like Kelly clown music.
Yeah, and then they have, like, patter about how cold it is. And then they just start talking about it. And Kelly is like, well, here's what happened. I was talking to Steve, and this little bitch came up, and this little troll from under a bridge asked me for riddles. I was like, what's a riddle? You're not butting in. You are.
Are you knitting?
He called me drunk. I'm not drunk. I'm just drunk. So then
she's like, that's when I saw red. And Emily's like, yeah, but you know, look, here's the thing, Kel. You have the right to feel like that. And I get it. You know, he made you mad. I get why you'd be upset. The thing is the name calling. You know, that's my husband. She goes, oh my God, of course.
Of course.
I had no idea it was your husband. I swear to baby Jesus. And then, of course, they show the clip of her, again, meeting Steve and being like, oh, or what's his buzz? Nice to meet you, Shane, husband of Emily.
I know. I love how Kelly is, like, I love how she's mad even when she's, like, being conciliatory and like empathetic. And Emily's like, it was just, the name calling was inappropriate. Of course. You were just out of line. I was totally out of line. I was.
I didn't know it was your husband. And she goes, yeah, but regardless, Kelly, you shouldn't talk like that to anyone. She goes, well, you shouldn't say you're going to kill someone. And then they just start cracking up. And this is what I love about Housewives resolutions. When they're like, you were wrong, I was wrong. And then they laugh at how dumb they were. And then Kelly has to add an obvious line in there. She goes, I mean, dude, don't point fingers at you, because then you have three pointing back at you.
Yeah.
It's actually 4. But I like that Kelly is always pointing like it's a cocked gun. Like, even her point at somebody else is violent.
I don't get it. Why is it 4 fingers?
Well, I guess it depends on if you're from a place that counts 3 fingers or your thumb as a finger. But, you know, when you point, I've always heard you have 4 pointing back at you. But I guess technically it would be 3, which makes this whole thing.
Why would it even be 3?
Because when you're pointing, like, make a point. Like, you're pointing at someone, you've got 3 fingers pointing back at you. And I guess, your thumb doesn't pass back. That means Kelly was right, I'm wrong, I'm quitting this show, I'd like to apologize to everybody, okay?
But here's the problem with this show. They had a totally mature resolution. They spoke clearly to each other, they voiced their opinions, they listened to each other, and it ended. And I'm like, I'm sorry. This is Bravo. You guys need to not listen to each other and get even madder and storm off and then get angrier next time you see each other. This is not how a season-long feud works.
Well, thankfully, Tamara will never let them forget it. She'll keep bringing it up over. And so will Shane.
So now they go to Tutto Fresco.
But we do learn things. Like, I can't believe I've been saying this whole time you've got four fingers pointing back at you. You know, why does nobody tell me when I make mistakes like that? Like, how many times have I said this in my life, just walking around like a fucking moron?
Well, I think it depends on if you're double jointed, you know, because maybe you are.
Oh, thanks, man. Okay, yeah. So
or
next
maybe you're
is...
just pointing with your thumb. In that case, you have four coming back.
I'm like, oh, my thumb! Every time I point, I break my thumb!
It's like Bob Dole pointing, you know? That's how Bob Dole points, you know, point with your thumb. Then you got four coming back. How about that, Ron? You're a Bob Dole pointer. That's what we learned.
Oh, my God, thank you. That turned out well.
And honestly, Ronnie, you know, some people, you know, if you want to point in a non-aggressive way, you actually point with two fingers, in which case you only have two fingers coming back. So, see, there's so many different variations.
I like that. But it's never four. Okay, so dinner for four. Tamara's at, you know,
Tutto Fresco,
El Pollo Loco or whatever. And so they're table for four. And
time to order dinner. I'll have a caprese salad. You know what? I'll have a
did
halibut.
Did you notice how she said it? She goes,
I'll have a caprese.
Yes, I thought she...
I'll have a caprese salad.
At first, I thought she was just coming up with a different salad called, like, a caprese salad. I was like, a caprese? A caprese salad, please. And I was like, I'll have the halibut. And Gina is like, I'm going to get the berry brie because I love it so much. Except I thought she said berry brie because of her accent. Ah, the berry brie. And I had to put on the captions. I was like, what is she ordering? And I put on the captions and it said berry brie. And I'm like, you're in an Italian restaurant and you're ordering a berry brie for your entree? I thought... Gina really has to work on some shit. She really does. Can I have the halibut, please? Thank you very much. And if you have any tortilla chips, I know this is an Italian restaurant, but if you have any tortilla chips back there, just pile them. You can just hide them under the fish. I won't tell anyone.
Possibly with some cheese on it. That's what we call nacho.
No sugar sauce, please. But if you would like to add perhaps a side of mashed potatoes, I would not object. Thank you very much.
Well, I was on a blind date that Tamara set me up on. And Tamara's like, I say fuck him. See somebody new. See a bunch of men. I'm not going to be able to call you a horse all season if you don't horse around, horse.
Yeah, and so Gina, since they're talking about dating, Gina makes the most awkward segue. She goes, and she gets all sing-songy because she's nervous. She goes, so, you know what's interesting to me about your story was that he was with this wife for 30 years and suddenly they realized they're not really meant for each other. And so my husband Matt's not really here a lot. So I'm not really at the table at the kind of conversation a lot. And so, like, you guys, you know, it's like...
And Tamara speaks for America. She's like, spit it out, batch.
We're splitting up. Everyone's like,
oh, Jesus, thank God. It sounded weird.
Well, you know, we got married really young and we were still really good friends, but we're just not in love. But he's like my best friend still. I'm still sort of attracted to him. And it's like the bubbles of Long Island. And I realized I could go to CVS and get my own bubble. So I don't have to be in Long Island for a bubble anymore. So I've really learned a lot. And then, you know what? We're going to be best friends forever.
Yeah, so everyone's like, and Shannon's like, well, I respect your positivity, but I was positive too. And then David tried to assault me in a courtroom. And Gina's like, he would never, we're best friends. And then Shannon tells us, I'm going through divorce, but I didn't ask for that. And they have three kids, and I wish they'd work on it. A, that's kind of shitty, but B, they have three little kids. Like, little.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, honestly, like, if they wanted to work on it, I don't know. I think it's for the best. I think this is not a relationship that is, like, this situation, like, again, if there was love, they would make it work. They would, like, it sounds like he doesn't even want her to visit. She doesn't even know where he lives. This is not a guy who wants to be married to this woman, and she feels it, and she deserves better in life, because you know what?
And
she's
he's
young,
not
she's
helping
pretty.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not helping anyway. And he's not there for the kids anyway. He's always fucking gone. So fuck that guy. See you later, sucker.
So they start talking about Vicky and how Vicky wants them to stay together and yada, yada, yada. It leads to talk about Vicky and her relationship. And that's where Tamara's like, I don't think Vicky loves Steve. I don't think Vicky loves Steve. So it's like...
I said that.
And Shannon's like, well, you know, I went to Dr. Moore with her. And apparently she has anger centered in her liver. In her liver.
Tamara's like, I warned her, and I warned her, and I warned her, and then she came after me and my marriage. You know, that's what she tried to ruin me and my marriage, and my...
Yeah.
Tamara.
And then she brings up the whole argument with the whole Kelly and Emily argument. And she's like, I just want to stay out of it. I just want to stay out of it. I'm like, you're the one who just brought it up. You brought it up just right now.
Yep.
And so Shannon,
and Emily's like, well, we had lunch and is that where we are now?
Yeah. Sorry.
So Shannon's like, well, Emily's like, we had lunch and everything's fine. She apologized. I apologized. And then Shannon goes,
well, what upset me is I was having a conversation with Kelly, and we practiced a conversation to have with Steve, and then she just lost it. You know, that's what I was working on. And Gina's like, I know you practiced, but sending your friend in there might not be the best circumstance, okay? If I'd have been you, I would have said, don't do that, Kelly, okay?
Like, she talks to Shannon like she's a fucking moron.
Well, Miss 30-year-old. I think I know her a little better than you do, Miss Getting Divorced.
And then you were stuck breaking up a fight, so how well did that go, huh?
Well, mission accomplished, because she relayed her feelings, and that's a very positive step. 30 to 40 positive feelings about relaying emotions. See, now we're all emotionally aware of each other.
Well, I guess you're right. It was a very positive night then. You're right. I'm detecting sarcasm. Miss 30-year-old. Of course I'm being sarcastic. It was insane. It was insane.
Well, maybe you shouldn't judge. It's not nice to judge. And Gina's like, well, if you're going to stir the pot, then own it. Ha! Ha! You're very judgmental, Gina. You don't even know me. Look at your friend Emily over here, because she's the one who threatened to kill somebody, and everything's my fault? Ha!
And then Gina goes, but I feel bad for Kelly personally. And they're like, no. And Tamara's like, you are being ridiculous. You cannot say that. And Gina's like, well, I do, because, you know, she's a hot. Look, what I'm just saying is I wouldn't have sent her in there. I wouldn't send Emily in there either. Look at her.
Well, and I wouldn't have told David to go walking along the beach with that trollop. But I guess these are the things that happen in life. You know what else I wouldn't have done? I wouldn't have gained 60 pounds if Vicky Gunvalson hadn't driven me toward it, but you know what? That's my lot in life, okay? That's the way the cookie crumbles. Oh, and by the way, I will have a cookie. Thank you very much.
Bitch!
And that is the end of Real Housewives of Orange County!
Woo! We are gonna be back tomorrow to recap Shots of Sunset. Yeah, we didn't forget about it. We are recapping their Now Ruse episode. And then we will recap the newest episode this Friday. So it's a double Shaws week, which I know everyone is excited about. You guys, I mean, far be it for me to shill any farther, but buy tickets in New York. We have tickets available for the 11th. I don't know how many are left, but I don't think there are too many, so you guys better go get some. Go to watchcrappins.com to get those, and also don't forget about Seattle and Nashville. If you're in those areas, they will be super fun shows. They always are. Nashville has, like, only about, like, 60 tickets left, so you better hop on those while you can. Everyone, we love you. We will talk to you mañana. Just as Steve Chavez would say, mañana. And anything else, Ronnie?
That solves it for me.
Huh. Well, maybe you listeners shouldn't be so judgmental. Huh. Bye.
Bye.